So I have everything all laid out there. Let me give you the anatomy of a sermon that I don't really like, so I'm not going to do. It starts off with little pithy statements that come from the scriptures about being made strong and prepared to endure everything with patience. And I say it would make a nice tweet. You know Twitter, anyone? It's really not that clever. I don't like it, so I'm not going to do that. And then it talks about, this is a song. Not in a, like we're going to break out into song, like you might on a TV show, like Glee or something like that. Is that show still on, right? For a little while longer, at least for one more season. And then there's actually a song that I wrote, published it in this in the Friday email if you got it. It's sung to the tune of Shall We Gather at the River? And this song is all about how wonderful and great Jesus is. And you know what? This section of Scripture, Colossians, represents, I think, something that's really, really wrong with Christianity. There's all this lofty language. He has rescued us from the power of darkness. He is the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things in heaven and earth were created. Head of the body, the church, firstborn of the dead. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. Colossians is a book that might have been written by Paul, might have been written by someone in the name of Paul. And it is, it's this huge praise that's put upon Jesus, saying he is great, greater than anything that ever was, and we have to praise him. We have to, in essence, because he's the king, this is the reign of Christ Sunday, because he's the king, we have to bow down before him and say, you are great, O wonderful Jesus. Kind of in a, O great and powerful Wizard of Oz, please give us the things that we're looking for. The problem is that it's written about Jesus, and not by Jesus. Jesus never said, look how great I am. Look how marvelous I am. You must bow down to me. He really said the exact opposite. You're a king? Jesus said to Pilate, you say that I am. He did say at one point, my kingdom is not of this earth, which is about as powerful that Jesus ever got with the whole kingdom type language. At a time where kingdoms, that mattered. If you had power over people, the king got to say, this is exactly what you do, and the people just had to obey. Otherwise, they'd be killed, or otherwise, they'd have all their property taken away. And Jesus said, I don't work that way. I'm not out to take away anyone's property. I'm not out to do that kind of stuff. Jesus' rule of thumb, instead of being, look at me and see how great I am, was, look at you and see how great you are. When Lazarus died, that's brings us the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Anyone know that? Like you've memorized a little bit of Bible readings and you know the trivia about the shortest verse in the Bible? No? Jesus wept. Yeah, why did Jesus weep? I mean, he was the king and all. He's going to bring Lazarus back to life and all that stuff, right? So why would he weep? I don't think with joy. What? Unbelievers that didn't believe Jesus. We want to put these theological spins on it, that Jesus wept out of joy, that something was coming, or that, oh, these poor unbelievers, I don't know what to do with them. I think Jesus cried because Lazarus was dead, and that was sad. Yeah. It hurt. And he felt the pain of the people around him too. Empathy. He was telling the people around him in that moment when he started weeping that your pain is real and you are precious and I feel how painful this is for you. When the woman came to Jesus and washed his feet with her hair and used expensive perfume on him. And first the disciples didn't think that she was worthy to even do that. And then they were mad because she was spending so much money that could be used for a better cause. Jesus saw how precious the woman was and that she was doing something powerfully, intimate, powerfully, loving, saying, "Jesus, you're awesome." But he turned around and essentially said to her, "You are awesome. You are marvelous." Not, "I'm exalted above the heavens." Not, "Praise be my name." But, "You are awesome." I wonder if we took these words from Colossians and made them, instead of from Paul to us, saying, "You have to do this. You have to say these enormously great things about Jesus because, after all, he reigns." And, you know, we don't live in a feudal or king society anymore. I know that there are places on earth, but the United States and so many places around the globe live where people are people. And you don't have to do what the king says all the time. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God. Okay. His glorious power is what's written there. Maybe it's about Jesus. But may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Okay, if you're not coming from church, I don't know that that makes any sense at all. Except for, may you be made strong. I see Jesus doing that. Jesus healing somebody. Or Jesus walking around. Or if Jesus was among us right now, looking at someone and said, "You know what, I really want you to be strong. I want you to be made strong." He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. There's God. Rescued us from the power of darkness. And in Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here's one of these big questions that we ask in Bible study often, and I think we ought to ask even more often. This whole thing about we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Paul's time, and even in the year 1000, when Anselm kind of put this all together, there was a thought that the only way that it makes sense that Jesus died is to redeem the sins of the world. Right? And that makes sense within Christianity. That makes sense that we sin and God can't fathom sin, and so Jesus had to die. But what if God can fathom sin and God could just forgive that without there being a death? Redemption. So do we have to be redeemed from sins, or can God say, "You know what, I love you and you're precious," just like Jesus does? If Jesus and God are the same, "I love you, you're precious, and of course you're forgiven." You might notice in today's words of assurance. Pat, read those again. Read those words of assurance again. But you got to read them in the microphone.
Even though we turn our backs, God's steadfast love is here. Receive that love in your hearts this day. Know that you are healed and forgiven in God's sight.
It doesn't say anything about redeemed by the blood or redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus. It just says that you are made whole. You are precious in God's sight. Know that God brings you reconciliation. Know that God brings you healing. Because God does that. And here it's Reign of Christ Sunday, and I know I'm going down into this cavernous place that says, no, Jesus really isn't the king. He doesn't want to be the king. And he said that all the time. And we are here worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. And why would we even get together to worship if Jesus isn't the one who reigns? See, Jesus just didn't care about that. I really don't think he cared about that. He cared about people. And his example was caring about people. And people who are hurting and people who are in trouble, and people who have done it wrong all their lives and want to do it right, or people who have done it wrong all their lives and are still doing it wrong. Jesus said, "I love you, and you are precious, and you are awesome." Not, "Look how great I am." So I don't know how we would rename Christ the King or Reign of Christ Sunday to give it that flavor. I think it's good to sing praise. I mean, it's good to sing songs about things that you love, about people that you love. I don't think Jesus is the world's boyfriend. I really kind of hate those songs. You ever heard those? I call them Jesus is My Boyfriend songs, where you sing so much, I love Jesus so much, I love Jesus so much, I love Jesus so much, and I'll just say it out loud. It's just kind of sickening to hear that. But songs of praise, Jesus, you get me. All right? Jesus, you've done great things, and I really want to get to know you better. Okay. But I like more the songs where we learn that Jesus thinks that we are precious, that we are okay, or it's going to be okay. That's Jesus saying, oh, Jerusalem, how I wish I could just gather you under my wings like a mother hen and essentially say it's all right. There. It's going to be all right. And the whole, we need reconciliation to God from Jesus. I don't think God works that way. I think that Jesus came down here because God needed a way to get us in a way that when you're the celestial being above everything, you just can't. And so taking on human form, you come down and you experience difficulty, you experience pain, you experience joy, you experience anger, you experience sickness. And then God says, oh, I get it. Reconciled to God. Maybe it's sort of the opposite. Not reconciled to God, but God gets us more. And so there's a reconciliation that says, oh, okay, I get it. You sin. I forgive you. You make mistakes. I forgive you. Do I really need to forgive you? Of course, I forgive you. Do you need a sacrifice? No, you don't need a sacrifice for me to forgive you. I can just forgive you. And then Jesus saying, you know what, God, they're really good people. They're really pretty awesome. And I know that they make mistakes, but they're worth so much. They are awesome. And convincing God to say, yes, you are awesome. I really do think that Jesus thinks each and every person here is awesome. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter where you're going in your life, I really do think that Jesus was not the sacrifice for all of humanity for the redemption of sins, but rather was a way for God to understand what it's like to be a person. That God isn't a king up on a throne saying, you better do my will, otherwise I'm going to get you. Or God's not a cosmic sheriff that's ready to shoot us down when we make a mistake. Because we all make mistakes. I think God is a constant support for us. God is a constant reminder of doing good, of finding ways through difficulty, of finding ways to reach out to one another. We've got some great opportunities to reach out. In the name of Jesus or not in the name of Jesus, just to do good, however that is. We've got enormous ways to do that with our money, with our resources, with our time, even right now, even today. We've got donations that can be made to Typhoon Haiyan Relief. Donations that can be made to the Midwest Tornadoes Disaster Relief. We've got supplies that are in your bulletin that we're collecting as part of the Illinois Conference Disaster Relief Ministries. And you can give to that. And those are going to get to the places that they need to go. We can spend time. If we want to organize a few people to go down, there's a daily conference call. And the need for relief right in our state is not going to go away after this first week. The need for people to come and help clean up. The need for people to come and maybe help counsel or just listen. The need for more and more crosses, right? Doesn't go away. I'll keep us informed, or we can look around us and find ways to help with that. But those three things right away, money to typhoon relief, money to tornado relief, and supplies to tornado relief. Those are things that we can do right now. And we can find more ways. More ways. You know, singing praises to God. You are great, you are great, you are great, God. You are great, you are great, you are great, Jesus. And I think that we find from scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that instead of doing that, God would rather that we help somebody who is in need. And that's what it's like to be a true Christian. So, back to the beginning words of Colossians 1:11-20. With all those thoughts in your mind, with all the challenges before us, with all the wonder about what is it that Jesus would have us do, these words of encouragement. Be made strong. Go and serve the Lord. Amen.